John chapter 5, we find Jesus in Jerusalem. We didn't read the second through the fourth verse, but if you read those, you'll find that he's by the sheep gate. And by the sheep gate, or the sheep market, as the Bible calls it, is a pool named Bethesda. It's a pool that had five different porches on it. And the Bible says that on those porches were a great multitude of sick people. And so there were people there that were blind, there were people there that was they're lame, there were people there that were paralyzed. And I'll just point out to you, there probably were no two people there that had exactly the same disease. I mean, it may have been two lame people there, but their lameness was different. And so there were probably no two there that had exactly the same sickness, but they were all sick. And the Bible says there was a great multitude of them. And it says that every now and then, at a time appointed or at a season, an angel came and stirred up the waters of that pool. And the first sick person that got in the pool after the angel stirred up the water was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. In other words, they were made well. Whatever sickness or whatever ailment they had, the Bible says they were cured of it. And you might ask the question, you say, preacher, you think that's true? I mean, do you really think an angel went down and stirred up the water and you think whoever got into it was healed? I do. I think it was true. I don't think it'd be in the Bible unless it was true. I don't think there would be a great multitude of people gathered around that pool unless it was true. And then you come to verse 5 and we read the account of one of those sick people that were there. Apparently he had been lame. And we know he'd been lame for 38 years. It could have been his whole life, we're not told. But for 38 years, this man had not been able to walk, not been able to get up. And when Jesus saw this man that had been lame for 38 years laying by this pool, he asked this lame man a question. He said, "Will thou be made whole?" And you think, that's sort of a strange question. Why would the guy be there if he didn't want to be made whole? I mean, why would he be gathered with those sick people around around that pool? And yet Jesus asked him the question, "Will thou be made whole?" And I'm sure the lame man thought, well, of course. And he said, of course I do. That's why I'm here. Yes, sir, I want to be made whole. I want to be able to walk. But my problem is when an angel comes down and stirs up the water, somebody always beats me into the pool. I'm lame, I can't walk, and I have no man that will help me get into the pool before somebody else does, and I always miss the opportunity. And Jesus said something to him that was very strange. He said, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Now, here was a guy that wasn't able to rise for 38 years. I mean, he couldn't get up. He was lame for 38 years. And here's Jesus. I don't know if he knew who he was or not. I mean, this was still early in his ministry. And yet, Jesus says to this man, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And again, this was something that this man had not done for 38 years, maybe never. And yet, at the word of Jesus, he starts to get up. And the Bible says, immediately, the man was made whole. He took up his bed and he walked. Now, I think this story, true story by the way, paints a wonderful picture of salvation. And I want to make 5 points from it this morning. Now, I know some of you count my points so you can gauge about when I'm about to be done. I'll just tell you ahead of time, one of my points has 4 sub-points. So if you're counting, you got to count up to 9 in order to keep track this morning. So here we go. Number 1, these sick people at this pool called Bethesda represent sinners. They represent sinners. The Bible says there was a great multitude of sick people gathered around that pool. And I'll just tell you, there is a great multitude of sinners. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. And it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'll just point out to you this morning that everybody here is a sinner. And everybody that's ever lived is a sinner. Our sins may not be the same. There's probably no two sinners that are exactly the same, that have committed exactly the same sins. So we're no two alike, but we're all alike in that we're all sinners. And again, every single person here today is a sinner. You say, oh no, preacher, I'm saved. You're still a sinner. I'm still a sinner. Just a sinner saved by grace. Some of us are forgiven because we've asked Jesus to be our Savior. Some of us are not. Some of us as sinners that are here this morning are free from the condemnation of sin. Some of us are not. Some of us sinners that are here this morning are on our way to heaven. Some of us are not. But we're all sinners. Number two, all sinners have a desire to be whole. Just like that great multitude of sick people that were there around that pool, they all had a hope. They all had a dream. They all had a desire. If I can just be the first one into the water after the angel stirs it up, I can be whole. That's why they came day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. They knew something was wrong in their life. It was a physical problem, and they wanted to be made whole. I want to tell you this morning, and I'm talking about you, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, but I'm talking about all sinners want the same thing. They want to be whole. They know there's something missing in their life. They may not know what it is, but they know there's something missing in their life. And what they need is, what they're missing is that relationship with God. You see, every single person that's here this morning, every single person in the whole world was made to fellowship with God. You were made to be part of God's family. You were made to be with Him. And if you're separated from Him by your sin, there's something missing in your life. You may not know what it is. You may not understand it. And that's why sinners that don't hear the gospel try to fill up their life and that missing part of their life with everything else. Everything that the world has to offer, they try to fill up that missing spot in their life. They have a desire to be made whole. Point number three, no man can help. This lame man said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. And I'll just tell you this morning, when it comes to the matter of salvation, no man can make you whole. No man can restore your relationship with God. The Bible says there's just one mediator. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And you can't get right with God. You can't have your relationship with God restored unless you come through me. Salvation is in no other. Acts 4:12, neither is there any name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except the name Jesus Christ. So no man can help. But point number four, Jesus can make people whole. He can still save, and He can still do what He did this day by the pool of Bethesda. He can still make people whole. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And I want you to notice the steps in this lame man's life that led to his healing. I want you to notice the steps, there's four of them by the way, that happened to this lame man, that he was able to get up, pick up his bed, and walk. There's some things that happen, same things that need to happen to us. First of all, he heard. He heard the word. He heard Jesus say, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Put it together. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus was the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. In John chapter 1, it tells us nothing was created without the word. He was the word embodied, and he gave us the spoken word. So this lame man heard the word. He heard Jesus say, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And in the same way, sinners today need to hear the word of God. They need to hear that they are sinners. They need to hear that there's a penalty for that sin. And that penalty is separation from God. They need to hear that Jesus paid the price when he went to the cross and he died on Calvary. He wasn't dying for any sin that he committed. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And he went to the cross and he paid the price for our sin. And if we ask him, we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. If we ask him, the Bible says that he will save us. That's why we need, all of us that are saved sinners, we need to go and tell people about Jesus. That's why it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Sinners need to hear. They can't get saved unless they first hear. They can't call unless they first hear. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then it says in the next verse, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Not a preacher that stands behind a pulpit, but a preacher that is a Christian that goes out and proclaims to lost people, there is a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And so that's what we all need to be about. I'm going to talk about it in just a second. I'm going to talk about it some more tonight. But that's what we need to be about. We need to be telling people about Jesus. We need to, like I said in Sunday school, we need to have tracts in our pocket so that when we run across somebody we can't talk to, we can give them a tract and say, "Hey, would you read this? It'll tell you how to get to heaven." We need to be ready with a spoken word. If we have the opportunity to tell them what has happened to us, we need to exercise that opportunity and take advantage of that opportunity and tell them. We need to live our life in such a way that people can see Jesus in us. And we'll put our banner up with our theme back up next week. But let your light so shine that men can see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They need to hear. So this man heard. He heard the word of God from Jesus Christ himself. "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And then he had faith. He had faith. Faith that said, "I don't know who this man is. I don't know who this is that's telling me to rise, take up my bed, and walk. But I believe him. I believe him. I don't see how I can do it. I've never done it, at least for the last 38 years. But I'm going to try it. I don't see how I can do it, but I'm going to try it." See, there's probably some sinners that are not saved here this morning that say, "I don't understand how believing Jesus can help me. I don't see what he can do for me." Maybe you're here this morning, you've never heard before. Maybe you're here and you've heard, but you've never paid attention. Maybe you're one that says, "Well, I don't have faith." You're wrong. You have faith. See, how do you know, preacher? You don't know me. You have faith. The Bible says that God hath dealt, in Romans 12:13, "God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now you listen to me. God has given you enough faith to believe and to get saved. Every single person. Say, "Well, I don't think he gave anything to me." Yes, he did. The Bible says so. And the Bible's true. The Bible's true. You have enough faith to get saved. Don't say you don't have enough faith. You do. That's why God can say he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why there's verses like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him." Every single person has enough faith to get saved. You do. This man heard. He had faith. See, he exercised that faith. He got up. I mean, I can see him. He's probably laying, you know, I don't know if he was laying flat or sitting on his, sitting down. I don't know. But Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And he says, "I don't know who this is. I haven't done this for 38 years, but I'm going to try it." And I can see him as maybe he gets up on his knees like this, And then I don't know if there's somebody standing around him. I don't know. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll find out. I don't know if somebody helps him get to his feet. But exercising his faith, the Bible says that he got up. He got up. At the command of Jesus, he exercised his faith and got up. The Bible says faith without works is dead. In other words, faith without action won't work. It's only when we obey the command of Christ with faith that faith bears its fruit. That's why James says, hey, don't talk to me about your faith. Show me your faith with your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. They go together. You just can't believe it. If you don't act on it, it won't mean anything. And so this man exercised his faith, and what happened? D, the Bible says, he was immediately made whole. He didn't start getting better. He was better. He didn't improve after a healing process. He was improved. He didn't get well gradually. It happened all at once. And I want to tell you this morning, salvation is not a process. It's an instantaneous event. You don't get saved a little at a time. You get saved all at once. God has given you a measure of faith. Enough faith to get saved. Why don't you exercise that faith this morning? Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died in your place, and ask him to save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you won't be saved in a process. You won't be saved gradually. You won't be saved later on today or tomorrow or next week or next month, next year. You'll be saved right now. Amen. Right now. And in a blink of an eye, the moment you ask Jesus to save you, the Bible says he will save you. And then number 5, or number 9 if you're counting them all. Saved people have a work to do. Saved people have something to do. Jesus said, rise, go ahead, get up, then take up your bed and walk. I don't want you to just get up to get up. I want you to get up and do something. I want you to roll up your bed. And by the way, it was a Sabbath and got all sorts of trouble because he was carrying his bed around on the Sabbath. But he said, I want you to get up, take up your bed, and walk. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not only are every single one of us made to fellowship with God, every single one of us are made for a purpose. When God made you, he had something in mind, and he made you to do it. And the only way you're going to have peace and joy in your life is to exercise your faith, get saved, find out what God wants you to do, and then do it. He said to that lame man, rise, take up your bed, and walk. If you're here this morning and you're still sick, if you're still laying in sin, I say with the word of God to back me up, rise, rise, get up. Don't lay in your sin any longer. You have a Savior that died for you. And if you'll exercise your faith, he will save you this morning. And then get up. Get up. Roll up your bed and walk. Find out what God wants you to do and then do it. Do it. We sing a song. We're going to change our invitation song this morning. And we sing a song that just describes what I'm talking about. And by the way, I'm going to talk about it some more tonight when I preach on that subject. God is looking for you. But we sing a song, Trust and Obey. And it conveys what I'm trying to get across this morning. Trust and obey. You trust Jesus as your Savior, and then you say, okay, I'm going to be obedient to him. Show me what you want me. You say, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, have you told him you'll do it? Huh? I mean, if he knows you're not going to do it, why would he waste his time telling you what he wants you to do? But when he sees in you that spirit of submission, when he sees in you that spirit of obedience, he'll say, okay, here's what I want you to do. So we need to trust him to save us, and then we need to be obedient to what he calls us to do. Say, well, God's not called me. Oh, yes, he has. You just haven't heard it. Huh? It's not God's fault. It's our fault. He's got a purpose for every... You say, I know some of you are here up in years and say, well, I've already fulfilled my purpose. No, you haven't. If you had fulfilled your purpose, God would take you to heaven. Amen. Huh? I don't care if you're 80 or 90 or older than that. If you are still here, God has a purpose for you to fill. Find out what it is and get about doing it. So here's what the song says. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. And by the way, there's not. Again, we can try everything the world has to offer to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. It's the only way to do it. No other way will work. Say, well, I'm happy. No, you're not. If you're not saved, you're not happy. The Bible says, sin for a season bringeth pleasure, but when it's finished, it ends up in death. So if you're happy, I want to tell you this morning, if you're happy in the things of the world, it's not going to last long. It's not. The only joy that will last forever is for you to trust Christ and then get busy doing what he wants you to do. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the example of this lame man. Thank you for what Jesus did for him and what he's willing to do for all of us. If we'd simply do what this lame man did, we'd hear, we'd have faith, we'd exercise that faith. And I pray, Father, that if there's sinners here this morning that are still lost, sinners here this morning that are still under the condemnation of sin, that they would cry out to their Savior and say, Jesus, save me. Save me. You're not asking us to turn over a new leaf to get saved. You're not asking us to do anything except to come just like we are. And I pray, Father, every person here that doesn't know Jesus would trust you this morning. I pray every person here would be obedient. That includes all of us. I pray we'd be open and we'd seek your will in our life, and then we'd get about doing it. Just bless this time of invitation, Father. Use it for your glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.